It's happening again.
It is happening. I've missed everyone
so much
over the last week.
I said to people this week, I'm not doing this drive time anymore without Jason. Not interested.
Well, and it's not that Grayson didn't do a fabulous job.
He did a great
job.
Lots of good feedback.
Fabulous job. But it's not called drive time with Grayson and Bran.
No.
It's called drive time with Jason and Bran.
And guess who you are?
Sometimes the J makes a big difference in the Asen and Bran.
I'm following.
Yeah, you are.
I'm following now.
Thank you, Grayson, for filling in last week. We do think you did a fantastic job. There is a really good chance you get invited back.
Wow.
Yep, I think so.
Did you listen?
I did not, but yeah. I could I could hear you guys in the office over there, and what I heard was really, really great. Yeah, it was really.
How about
really
that
good
joke he told?
Ah, man, side splitting.
Yes.
Was it appropriate?
It was.
Okay, good. Side splitting.
There wasn't a joke.
Yeah, okay.
We are here on a Sunday. We're here on a Sunday morning. We try.
Tell everybody what happened. Pull back
the
curtain.
So this week, you were at High Point Camp in Pennsylvania.
I was
at Woodlands Camp in Cleveland, Georgia.
That's right.
And we said we need to record a summer drive time. So we tried to do a call situation.
I called in from the cornfields of Pennsylvania to you in the mountains of Georgia.
And it just sounded like...
To no one's surprise, the connection wasn't that great.
It wasn't great. And so we came in early on a Sunday morning before Sunday service, and we're doing this right now.
I feel like the brilliance of what we were processing through was we knew we wanted to do a drive time talking about camp.
Yep.
Again, Summit Drive Time is just a little bit of insight for the Summit family on philosophy of ministry, the DNA of Summit, why we do some of the things we do, maybe to talk a little bit more about a passage that we didn't get time to say everything we wanted to say about on a Sunday morning. And since that's the point of Summit Drive Time, we thought, hey, why not camp? You're at camp, I'm at camp, and we can share with folks a couple of things. One, we can share with them why we value camp for our students.
Mm-hmm, right.
You were just at camp with 11 middle schoolers. I think you're heading back with like 40 high schoolers in a couple of weeks back down to Cleveland, Georgia at Woodlands Camp. I'm going to Woodlands Camp to speak in a couple of weeks as well.
I'm going to High Point.
You're headed to Pennsylvania this
tomorrow,
week to speak. And
yeah.
Right, we go, Jason, Bran, like in the summer, you guys are at a couple of different camps. One, you're taking students to camp because you're the student ministry pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, I speak at two camps.
Yep.
These are the only camps I speak at. And I love it. I've been doing it for many a year now. And so I thought maybe on drive time, why we value our students going to camp and why we value speaking at a camp or two.
Because it is interesting because we're not program driven at Summit Church.
That's exactly right.
And so to take an entire week and take 40 plus students to a camp, that sounds like a program, right?
Yeah.
But there's more to it that we don't just do it to do it because every other church is doing it.
That's right.
So there is a reason behind it. And that's what we want to talk about today.
And how we strategically partner. I've got no problem talking about this Woodlands camp and this High Point camp.
Yeah.
They're pretty strategic in partnership with them, even in what they talk about and what they do. So, Bran, I'm going to let you take the first part of this. Why do we value our students in the midst of everything else they've got going on, carving out a week, a summer, and heading to a place like Woodlands Camp or High Point Camp?
Did you go to camp as a kid, Jay?
You know what? This isn't going to be an exaggeration. I did not go to camp.
Okay.
Now, also
sound like one.
Yeah. Also not going to be an exaggeration is... being a student ministry pastor for a decade, and now even after being a student ministry pastor, still speaking at camp. I was doing the math the other day.
Yeah.
I'm well over 75 camps and retreats that I have been a part of. That's a lot.
That is a lot.
Through the years.
Yeah,
I mean, that's 20 years of ministry.
But not as a kid.
So I really embraced it later in life. Did you go to camp as a kid?
I did. I went to Woodlands Camp as a kid.
Yeah, you did.
My church back in Florida would drive up. We would leave at like 4 a.m.
Yeah.
And we'd get there at like 3 p.m.
Yeah.
On a Monday. And I loved it. And as I was entering into student ministry, I knew that I wanted to bring my kids to Woodlands Camp.
Awesome.
For a few reasons. One, I remember leaving Woodlands Camp as a high schooler. Always falling more in love with Jesus.
Yeah.
And that wasn't just because everybody else was doing it. It was because of the intentionality of Woodlands Camp to put such a high emphasis on the Word of God.
Yeah.
So not just a feeling or not just a moment or not just an experience, but actually taking a large chunk of the day to be in the Word, not just in chapel services, but also throughout the day, reading Scripture with their counselors, having Scripture memory time. All those things are built in to the day. And when you think of camp, you usually think of all the fun things, the blob. But as I look back, I look at what a transformational time it was for me as a high schooler as I began to fall in love with Scripture. And we know, like, kids are going to come back from camp, and there is a little bit of a, you know, it's a little bit different because there's so much more noise. That's the beauty of camp, is that you're literally unplugged. They don't have their phones. They don't have anything. And it's just all Jesus, which is amazing. But to try to give students tools as they go back, and Woodlands does a great job of it. They have an app with a Bible reading plan.
Yep.
They have just a lot of different things that students can use as they go back out to their schools and their neighborhoods to continue that relationship with Jesus. And they put such a high emphasis on not just allowing camp to be where they love Jesus for 1 week out of the year, but to try to equip them to do that. And so I think as a church that values highly equipping, that's why Woodlands Camp works well for us, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, the values line up. You know, at Summit, our number one value is intimacy with God, passionate pursuit of God, and we're taking our students to a place. And obviously, you and I both are, you know, not only did you go as a kid, I mean, you were on staff there as well, and I know the director as well. So you know the director, I know the director. He goes by Big John. And to be able to partner with someone who is like-minded in regards to what you want students to walk away from in regards to a camp experience. And you're right, like, camp is not everyday life.
Right.
And even when we go speak at a place, like, we're able to speak to that. But to know students are able to be in the Word. Both of my daughters have been a part of Woodlands just this year. They've gone down for weeks of camp, and both of them came home sharing with me the verses in Scripture that they had memorized, showing me the notes of stuff that they had jotted down. Like, when your 9-year-old hands you her notebook and say, "Dad, look at the notes that I took in chapel on what the speaker was talking about." And what's being talked about there coincides with what we're teaching here.
Yeah.
You know, a biblical view of the gospel, gospel motivation for all, life change, passionate pursuit of God, the value of biblical community.
Yeah.
You know, they talk a lot about that and accountability and that sort of thing. And so the values of Woodlands, and I would say High Point as well, line up so much with what we value here at Summit Church, that it is a win to put our students into that environment on a regular basis. And here's what's true, probably for a lot of folks that are listening today. If you look back over your life, while I did not do camp like you did camp, I did go on retreats and stuff with my youth group. And I would say, as many of the listeners would also say, as we look back over our young walk with the Lord, our early years, it was those kinds of environments more than others where it would seem that the Spirit of God did a work in our life that was significant in our spiritual growth and formation. Like, if you track that, if you go back and say, what are the markers or significant things happened in my life? For a lot of folks, they would say it was in a camp retreat type environment where they pulled away from the everyday, where they pulled away from the mundane, and they were in an environment in which the Spirit of God spoke to them through the Word of God.
Yeah, I would say most, if not all, of the long-term discipleship that I've had with students over the years has come out of a week at camp or a retreat where students said, I want you to disciple me. I want you to walk with me.
Yeah.
Continue to encourage me to grow in my walk with Jesus. And so that's a win for us,
that's
to have students say, "Hey, I want to continue this after this week." So that's a huge one.
Yeah. I agree with you.
Wonderful.
I think the segue is, why do we take part in it as leaders?
Do you think if you say the segue is like that, that's not really a segue?
What is the segue?
I don't know if they're...
If you say the segue, then it's not really a segue? Segue has to be just done?
That's like saying, you know, when you used to write like papers for school?
Yeah.
And you would say, my next point is, and then the teacher would say, work on your transitional statement.
You feel like I needed to work on my transitional
statement? I think you need
to
work on your transitional statement.
I'd like to take
statement.
Back that I say the segue.
All right.
So the next point of this podcast would be... How's that? Was that better?
That's so much better.
No, why do we take part in it now as leaders? Yeah. Now, here's what some people may not know, Brian. You and I met and became best friends at camp. Explain if you
would. We met and became best friends later.
If it weren't
later,
for camp, if it weren't for camp, we wouldn't even know each other. That's a true statement.
That is true.
Go ahead, tell the people.
So as I said, I went to Woodlands Camp. Jason, as he said, he speaks at Woodlands Camp, and I believe it was my senior year in high school. I went up to Woodlands Camp, and Jason was speaking.
That's right.
And I need to point out, the year before, I went to Woodlands Camp, and I had a speaker. His name was Ed Newton.
Oh, Ed.
And I loved Ed Newton.
Everybody loves Ed.
Ed Newton was young. He was hip. He was teaching with like a...
He's got cool glasses. He wears cool clothes. He spikes his hair up in a very cool way. I think the tips are kind of frosted.
They weren't frosted.
All right, whatever.
He does a fun run with the kids.
Yeah, who does a fun run with the kids? If I run, it's to get away from the kids.
Right.
I want to just go by myself. I don't want to run with children.
Yeah.
I just want to get out there by myself and go for a run. Go ahead.
So I loved him. He was very fun.
Yeah.
The next year, I was very sad. I wasn't going to get Ed. So maybe some preconceived, like...
Okay. Well, thanks for admitting.
Hostility.
Okay.
But I go into the first chapel, and this guy comes up to talk, and he is
This guy being me.
Yes, you. And you are just all over the place.
It wasn't all over
You
are
all over
the
place. You just talk fast.
That doesn't mean I'm all over the place. I mean, that's manuscripted. I got all my notes right there. I'm not just...
Just in short, wasn't a fan.
That's
and funny. I remember at one point I tried to go say hi to you, and you didn't seem interested.
Oh, man, this is harsh.
But also come to find out later in hindsight, looking back at those years.
That I was deathly ill.
No.
Oh.
That it correlates with the planting of Summit around that time.
Yeah, that's right.
It was just starting up, and you had a lot going on, I think, in your life. And so you weren't... I don't think you knew that I was trying to say hi to you, because if you did, you would have...
I don't think I could have resisted, because you're a very nice guy.
Yeah. I was not a fan.
Okay. But then what happened?
Then, the next summer, I was on staff as the worship leader at Woodlands Camp, and Jason comes down, and just immediately... Good friends, because you were the only guy.
Go ahead.
And both of my summers that taught, that pulled me aside and prayed with me multiple times before the chapel service.
Okay, well, I'm glad we really got some traction there.
That's right.
And now look at us; we're doing a podcast together called Summit Drive Time with Jason and Brian.
Kindness of the Lord.
It is the kindness of the Lord. I love the opportunity to go to camp now. To Brandon's point, early on, even in the planting of Summit, like some of that maybe was. I mean, I enjoyed the opportunity to go and teach, but as I've gotten older and been able to go and teach, I've been able to take my family with me, which is always a win to be able to hang out with my family in those environments. I'm always intrigued and encouraged at the number of counselors in particular who will come up and say, and even students, hey, I've been watching how your family interacts with one another around the camp, just like during the day, and it's encouraged my heart based on my home situation. My wife has had lady counselors who's handed her notes in the past that have just said, hey, like, my home situation has been horrible, and to see how you guys interact has given me hope for what the Lord may have for me in the future. And so that's just an encouragement of the kindness of the Lord and to be able to be in those environments. I love teaching the students. I mean, to your point, I want to come along and say what we teach here at Summit, I want to say those things to students.
That's right.
I want students in middle school and high school to understand gospel motivation for all life change. Because as I said a few moments ago, some of you had significant life change happen when you were at camp. But others of you, maybe your experience was someone screaming at you and telling you how everything you did was wrong. And your motivation for life change at camp was fear-based or legalistic or someone, you know, you thinking based on what you heard that God was going to love you more, like you more based on what you did for him. And so I love stepping in those environments with middle schoolers and high schoolers and go, no. He loves you. Yep. He has shown you his love for you in the giving of his son, Jesus Christ. There is a call upon your life if you walk with him for obedience and holiness and growing in sanctification and life change and transformation, but the gospel motivates that. And being able to go to different passages of scripture and be able to teach that. I mean, here we teach through books of the Bible. Oftentimes, I'll go to camp and teach through, as much as I can in a week, a book of the Bible.
Right.
Because I want students to see that this is all over the pages of Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a point and then a few funny stories with Jason. Like, here's what Scripture has to say about how the gospel motivates us towards life change and sanctification and transformation and intimacy with God and biblical community and sharing your grace story. So I love being able to teach in those environments. The other thing that's a win for me is actually, to your point, is to be able to develop relationships with the counselors and stuff. The number of folks who are on our staff team now are just a part of our church family, but they're leading in some capacity. Maybe they're helping with student ministry. Maybe they're a small group, life group leader for us, whatever the case may be. That's because I met them through the years at camp, and then they happened to live in Greenville after they finished up college, and now they're a part of our church family. And whether that be High Point or Woodlands in particular, those two camps, we just have tons of former counselors who are in our midst, team members at our place, actively serving and doing stuff around here, which is an encouragement to my heart. And I want to continue to open up those pipelines. Like, if we can have more Brandon and Caitlin Grace, because your wife was also a part of Woodlands Camp. If we can have more Brandon and Caitlin Grace, more Jay Albrights, more Cam Hills. I mean, this is a snapshot of the folks that have come through Woodlands Camp.
Yeah.
Then that's a huge win for us in this ministry. So to take a week of summer or 2 weeks of summer and go speak in these places and talk with these counselors what they're processing and thinking through life is a huge, huge win and asset for this for the Summit Church family.
Absolutely. And going back real quick to the teaching piece of it, I think one of the things that I appreciate the most, and one of the things I remember, even being a camper, was the introduction to every man, woman, and child. And something that our students get all the time, but I know that there's not a lot of that going along on in America, where kids believe and understand that they matter deeply.
That's right.
And God advancing his kingdom in this world. Yeah. That it takes every man, woman, and child to reach every man, woman, and child, and that means students. That God is placing those students in and where he's placing them for a reason.
Yeah, even the difficult things that they're walking through. Man, you don't have to pull any punches with middle schoolers and high schoolers to let them know that life isn't Disney World.
Right.
They've already experienced enough hardship and tough things. Even this past week at when I was in Pennsylvania, I taught through 1 Peter. And 1 Peter is about suffering.
Yeah.
How do you suffer well? How do you do good in culture to the glory of God and also suffer well? And I'm just having these conversations with students afterwards. I talked with a high school kid who came to camp last summer, was excited, and within 4 months of that time, his little sister died in a car wreck.
Wow.
Another young man that I, you know, was had the opportunity to hang out with some whose dad had recently passed away. Like, these students, it's just that snapshot that everybody sitting in the room has a story. Everybody sitting in that room is going through something. And so to be able to give them some handles, even at such a young age, of how do I navigate hardship with the hope of the gospel, man, I want to be able to invest in the next generation in that way.
Yeah, and just be able to introduce them to the truth that intentionality matters now.
Yeah,
like it doesn't matter.
Right.
It doesn't start when you go to college. It doesn't start when you get married. Like, it starts now. And to like, they don't have a JV Holy Spirit.
That's right.
They have a varsity Holy Spirit.
Yeah, it's good.
Like, they can, they have it. And
that'll
so
preach.
To help begin to equip them to do that and to give them some handles as they go home. That's one of the most exciting things to
for
me
sure.
about
for sure.
About teaching at camp.
Yep. Well,
next on the agenda.
Are we done? No,
no,
we don't have
no,
to do
we're
it.
Not. No,
oh, we're not.
We got a couple more minutes.
Okay, great.
And so I wanted to ask. Well, we have like a minute.
Oh, okay.
I wanted to ask you about your 4th of July.
Yeah, because here's the
deal. We were both gone for the 4th of July.
Up at High Point Camp, they do a big like festival for the entire town. Now, the entire town, I think, might be 500 people, but they do.
What's the town?
Birdsboro, PA.
Because I hear different things. I hear Geigertown.
No, Birdsboro.
Okay.
You're going to Birdsboro, PA, I think. Geigertown's close by.
Okay.
Maybe it's part of Geigertown. Anyway.
It's hard to say. It's a borough?
Gigantic lake. And then the fireworks, they just shoot off the church, which is affiliated with the camp.
Right.
They do a festival thing for the entire town, and they just shoot off some wonderful fireworks over the lake. It's wonderful. And just when you think it's over, someone has snuck into the lake.
No.
And in the middle of the lake, they have a little platform, and they start shooting them off in the middle of the lake. Someone scuba dives out there, I think, and they start shooting them off in the middle of the lake. And it's a grand show. 30 straight minutes, big fireworks. I've been in New York City for Macy's before, and that's fantastic, obviously. That's like $2 million worth
of
fireworks.
It's funny you say that.
Okay, go ahead.
We didn't have fireworks at Woodlands Camp.
Oh, okay.
And so I watched them on TV.
Oh, okay.
Which,
it's not the same.
No. It's about as exciting as it sounds.
Okay.
But it was Macy's. So I kind of also was there.
I've been there in person in Macy's like 3 or 4 times to see those fireworks.
Uh-huh.
This is just one step away from that. and better than what I could do in my cul-de-sac at
home. And they're, well, yeah. And they're not, and they're, correct me if I'm wrong, not sponsored by Macy's.
That's right. Point. Yeah, that's exactly right.
They've been in talks?
Yeah, I don't know if they've been in talks, but it's better than what I could do in my cul-de-sac. Now, speaking of my cul-de-sac at home, when I returned home, uh-huh. it was obvious that my neighbors
yeah.
had shot off some fireworks, much of the debris landing in my yard.
I need to talk to people real quick.
Can we have another podcast about neighborhood etiquette?
Yes, neighborhood etiquette is this. July 4th, it's okay.
Okay, up until what time?
Like 10.
30?
I think you shoot them off between 9:30 and 10:30.
Okay.
You give it an hour.
Okay.
None of this July 3rd nonsense, none of this.
Right.
For someone who has a baby
yeah.
and for somebody who has two dogs,
mm-hmm.
it's not yeah. good. It's well. Not good. And you're being selfish.
Wow. Well.
You're not thinking well about your neighbors.
Right.
You're not loving them well.
Yeah.
Just think for 1 second.
People were shooting them off last night.
Ugh.
And I don't know what we're celebrating on July 7th.
Nothing.
What are we doing?
Nothing.
Nothing. What that is, bad stewardship.
It is.
You bought too many.
You bought too many.
And now you got to keep shooting them off.
It's ridiculous.
Be safe out there.
Did you watch the hot dog eating contest?
I didn't watch the hot dog eating contest. I think it's disgusting. I cannot
74
watch
74 hot dogs in 12 minutes.
I can't watch
people 74
eat.
Hot dogs.
I can't watch people eat their food. It grosses me out. I don't care who it is. If a commercial comes on and they're eating something.
That's the real reason you gave up social media this year.
I can't
You're sick of people watching.
We hope all of you have a fantastic
week. Bye, everybody.
We love you. See you. Bye.